Carbondale Arts opens the 39th Valley Visual Arts Show tonight at the Launchpad, with a member and patron opening at 5:30. I love openings. The general public is invited from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. The Valley Visual Arts Show began as a venue for local artists to show their work to the public. It's evolved to become both a salute to the wide variety of artistic talents in the area and a chance for fledgling artists to display their work in a nurturing environment. 50 artists are in this year's show, and two of them are joining us right now. Alice Bedard Voorhees, did I say that right?
You did.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm like comically bad with names. And Dave Ashante.
Thank you.
Thank you both so much for joining me. I have so much I want to ask you about and talk to you about. I can't wait to hear about both of your individual pursuits. And then I kind of want to pivot and talk about the evolution of the show in general and just what a reflection it is of the sheer concentration of very talented artists in this valley. So I really don't mind. I'm very egalitarian. I don't care who would like to start. Deva.
Okay.
Can you talk just a little bit about your piece and what artists or goers can expect tonight? And then also some of the history of how you got involved in expressing yourself through your art.
Well, my piece is called Wind, and it's encaustic on rice paper. And, you know, I got into encaustic because I was before really diving into being a perfectionist in art. And through encaustic, you can't be a perfectionist. So when you're working with a medium that is, you know, delicate and it's on heat and you know, you've got to heat it up and paint with it and then it sets and you can keep working it. And then there's this moment that you find that it's just really perfect as it is without being perfect. So encaustic is such a good medium for me, and it's so natural because it's melted beeswax that I just love it. And so the piece in there is called Wind because it was created when we built the kiva at True Nature, because I put a whole series of wind in the kiva in the spa. And so it shows the movement that was going on in the kiva and in myself during the creation. And, you know, it kind of speaks for itself when you go and stand in front of it. I just ask that you look and you feel what comes inside of you. And that's what I love about hanging pieces on the wall. Each person will interpret it differently.
Definitely. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with the kiva, Deva is a co-owner of True Nature Healing Arts, and they recently created this beautiful space, the kiva. And there was so much intention that went into cultivating that space. I love learning that, you know, this whole other art series came out of it that I wasn't familiar with. How wonderful.
Yeah, it was, you know, and I look back on it and I have no idea how I even did it. It's almost like it was in a dream state to get done as many pieces as I did, as well as creating the kiva. Wow. But the kiva was created to marry heaven and earth. And so this wind energy and the movement of wind and what wind is and how it creates change, that's just what inspired this whole series.
Well, and how beautiful, too, that it's involving melted beeswax, because in so many ways, bees are kind of representing that marriage, right? You know, they're
and flight.
Yeah.
There's a feather in each one of these pieces. Some pieces have multiple feathers, but it's because of that aspect of flight. So, movement.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. Do you know about how many pieces ended up coming out into that series?
Right now, I think there's 15.
Wow.
In this series.
Yeah. How did you possibly choose a favorite to submit?
I don't know. This one called. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Alice, how about you? What's going to be showcased tonight?
Well, first of all, I have to think of what you just said, and I was reminded that Georgia O'Keeffe was asked to define beauty. And she said, there are some winds that can carry this across the room. Which is pretty mind-blowing. My piece tonight is called This Land One. And actually, I come to abstract and expressive art making through poetry because I formally studied creative writing poetry and wrote for many years.
Oh, wow.
And then there is a sense of what art can do, visual art can do, that is also poetic. And I think it was Horace who said, that a picture is a poem without words, which really resonates for me because it describes the transition. So while I typically don't think of myself as doing realistic landscape, the piece, This Land One, has some shapes in it that would tell you those look like mountains, but the point of departure in then working with the acrylic paint and with color and with line to somehow resolve the feeling was a surprise for me. So what was happening was I was concentrating on use of color, but it didn't feel finished. And then I took a brayer and made marks to it, and it has a chaotic feeling. And I really think that what was captured was my concern over things like the fires and what's going on in the environment. During this same time, I have eight pieces hanging at the library right now in Carbondale, and those pieces are based on the Japanese poetry form, not haiku, but tonka, which has 31 syllables. But again, once you take a form from where it existed, say a written form, and start abstracting it, you are challenged with the elements of that visual art rather than the words.
Well, now I know why you're so well armed with these amazing quotes and references. That's fantastic. What made you decide to go from creative writing and poetry and language to the language? I mean, I think visual arts is still an expression that can be treated as a language, but it's certainly a different medium. How did you find that?
I think that over time, I mean, I've been very aware that the various arts inform us. And so we might listen to music and want to make art. Or in reverse, there have been other artists who've taken, say, something from literature and then made a visual piece out of it. And I would just tell you that seemed like a natural progression for me, that to feel the interaction between those two pieces or those two disciplines.
Sure, sure. Was there a moment or a particular author or poet that really started to help you see that, oh, hey, maybe I do want to go in this direction? Or was it just sort of, you know, kind of boiling frog syndrome? A little bit at a time.
I don't think so. I think it was a series of opportunities I had in the last several years to be in so many places in the world and just drink out of the art fire hose and just be so inspired by that.
Yeah.
And in writing poetry, there is a creation of image also through the choice of words. So I would say that part seemed like a natural transition also. I mean, linkage.
Definitely. You know, David, speaking of that linkage, I mean, you're an intuit, you are a spiritual leader in a lot of ways, a teacher. I'm curious how you kind of found that link from, you know, being informed in this realm to realizing that there's an alternative route for your expression.
Well, you know, I started off when I was young, very, very much into art in all aspects of it, photography, pottery, you know, sculpture, and then, you know, drawing and painting. I was big into painting. But I was told I could not go to college to be a fine artist. And it came out of the concern of my parents didn't want me to be a starving artist. And so to please that thought, and that fear, I went to design. So I, you know, went through college and became a graphic designer. And I just never had the love and the passion. It's what has really fueled this creation of True Nature. You know, without my design background, I wouldn't have been able to do what Eden and I have been able to do over there. And but there was always something missing. Because being able to tap into the depths of yourself and express it, and then the vulnerability to show it.
Right.
I mean, that hits all different parts of yourself. And that's, I thrive there, even though it is terrifying sometimes. But it feeds me. It feeds me. So even though these other skills are a part of my life and, I think art is in everything. I'm fueled by beauty. And beauty isn't always what you consider as beautiful.
Right.
Like, I think there's beauty in ugly, you know?
Yeah, or as Alice was saying, finding that chaos that really kind of finished it and spoke home to you in your current piece at the Valley Visual Arts Show tonight. So, no, I think that's wonderful. I envy artists who can find, you know, they see that beauty in the chaos or, you know, or in the stress or in the darker places and being able to tap into that and home into that, whether that's expressing concern for the environment or, you know, finding stillness in chaos. I have a lot of respect for that. So that's very cool for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And how your outside lives kind of inform your art and vice versa. So, no, that's neat. That's mm-hmm. neat. What in particular about the Valley Visual Arts Show attracted you both?
This is my fourth year,
mm-hmm.
so I would say in the first year, that whole idea of the nurturing environment for someone who's just in that place where they're starting to share their art.
Mm-hmm.
And also at that point in time, which will probably get us into some of the history, the first 2 years that I applied, there was a juried process. And also the offer, the acceptance was one or two pieces
mm-hmm.
once you made it through the juried process. And they also had a bin the first year that I participated in. So it was, the format was a little bit different, but it was very much like other kind of art exhibitions that, or art shows and sales that a person might be part of. However, over time then, we see it now as the opportunity for 50 very ready artists to get their submissions in the chute.
Sure.
as soon as the site opens. So.
Yeah, because these days it is first come, first serve, right?
Yes.
All right. I can't wait to talk about that a little bit more. David, what about you? What first attracted you to this particular show?
You know, it's a community gathering mm-hmm. and sometimes I get ambitious and I want to be in a gallery showing like a professional one. And what I love is there's no stress with this one.
Right.
It's, you know, one piece and you're showcasing it along with many people, you know, it's lighthearted and it's just, you know, super enjoyable. And the Launchpad and Carbondale Arts, you know, they're dear to my heart. And anything to support them is amazing.
Definitely. And yeah, I like this idea of what you talked about the nurturing environment and, you know, simultaneously offering, there's vulnerability in all art. I absolutely believe that. And so it's nice to be held in a space that's familiar, that's in the community. And, you know, Alice, you were talking off air, even how it's almost like a homecoming, you said.
Yeah, I really think of the opening night reception as a homecoming. And you see, first of all, it's shoulder to shoulder, and you see well-established artists not only showing up to support the event, but also participating in the event. So, for example, tonight, Andrew Roberts Gray and Annette will have a piece in there. And Chet Herring. I mean,
nice.
So mm-hmm. there'll be some well-established people there. But the other part is just the spirit of it. The spirit of the opening reception is just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And, you know, there's that balance between well-established people, but you could have a first-timer that happened to get in the first, like, 2 minutes it was open, which is...
Yeah. Last year that happened with my daughter.
Jade, I was just going to say, didn't Jade have a piece featured?
Yeah, Jade and I were both in the show last year, and that was so special because last year she was 13 when she had a piece, and, you know, it was beautiful, and... This year she wanted to get in so bad, but she didn't have time to do a piece because she was so busy with everything else in her life. But
right. That
was special to have an opportunity for us both to show a piece of work.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't capture the spirit of the show, I don't know what does, you know?
Yeah.
something I did want to talk about is, you know, everything is a double-edged sword, right? Like the Valley Visual Arts Show, it has evolved in, you know, how... It accepts pieces and things. And it is wonderful that this valley and this area, I mean, we are one of 20 recognized creative districts in the state of Colorado. And I think that we are deserving of that title.
Definitely.
And there's so many incredibly talented individuals, which on the one hand is awesome. On the other hand, when it comes to things like the, you know, Valley Visual Arts Show, and it's this egalitarian spirit, but my gosh, if you don't get a piece in these days in the first 2 or 3 minutes that it opens up, you're basically not going to get a piece in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wondered if you guys have any thoughts about that. I know of a couple of people who were a little bummed. They had pieces that they had been saving, and then they didn't get in the first, you know, however many minutes. And again, double-edged sword. On the one hand, that's great. But on the other hand, there's only so much space that the launch pad has. Do you guys have any thoughts about what the future is going to look like for the show?
No, it'll be super interesting. You know, one thing I do think about is, since, you know, I own and run a business, I can understand why Carbondale Arts would do that, because mm-hmm. they aren't having to spend hours upon hours picking pieces. And so from their side of it, this makes sense
mm-hmm.
for a business side. And for artists, it just makes you really be on top of it.
Right.
Be ready. You have that morning open to do nothing but submit. And I think that's part of the process too, that weeds out who isn't, you know, maybe prepared and ready. And if you missed it, next year.
Right.
I would add to that, with the expanding programming that the Arts Center, the Launchpad, is doing here, and they are doing amazing programming with critique sessions and special workshops, that I do think that I'd point out that they are using their energy for discernment with their call for show proposals each year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's mm-hmm. that's the balance, I think, between the two, this great popular event we're talking about, popular of the people,
right,
and the other programming that they're doing.
Yeah, that's true. There is a lot of programming. So I guess potentially if you don't make it this year, like you said, David, there's always next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you can reach out to Carbondale Arts and say, hey, I didn't get in. Like, what are my other opportunities? Not to put you on the spot, Amy Kimberly, if you're listening, but.
Right.
And, you know, there are so many venues. You, like you said, Alice, you've got pieces at the library right now. You know, there's the coffee shop. I don't know if you're ever planning at True Nature to have pieces showcased or not, if that's in the works or not. But there's a lot of opportunity to just have the local art permeate throughout the town. So this is a very cool thing. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Express Yourself on KDNK, commercial free since 1983, and of course, membership owned. I am sitting down chatting with two of our, 2 of 50 featured artists in this evening's Valley Visual Arts Show. It is Alice Bedard-Voorhees, which I've said or been told is the correct way to pronounce that, and Dave Ashante. Thank you both so much for joining me. If you are planning on showing up, the opening is open at by invitation at 5:30, but then from 6 to 8 to the public tonight. You can show up at the launch pad and just kind of absorb some of the fruition, as we talked about. Like, you know, 50 artists in the launch pad sounds so quintessentially Carbondale, but it's a fraction mm-hmm. of the talent of the residents here and in the area, which I think is just so cool. So, so cool. Do you guys have, I mean, in your own artistic endeavors, obviously you'll be at the opening tonight, mm-hmm. But beyond the Valley Visual Arts Show and beyond the library for you, Alice, do you have things in the works that, can we get some breaking news or some teasers on what is in your futures for you, both artistically, because you both do have so many other things going on as well?
I'm doing some portfolio prep with the idea of exploring some other exhibitions. But I have been moving to larger pieces. So currently, I just finished a 10-inch by 10-foot collage. And I'm trying to work bigger. It doesn't mean I'm in control of the materials yet. And the other pieces, I also intend to do a work that will be 7 panels that will, when assembled, will represent one Tonka. And so the panels are 1x4-foot cradled boards.
Wow.
So,
wow. And how many syllables is
31.
31.
31. 31 in Japanese, but Americans have written in the Tonka form for a number of years also. And because our language isn't the same, if you look at written verbal poems, they're not always exactly 31, but they're typically 5 lines.
Wow. And I learned about a whole new poetry medium tonight. Love this show. Deva, what about for you?
Well, for me, you know, I do art whenever I can. It's not my first job. It's more of my passion job. And I show my art at True Nature. And in the future, you know, I'm open to what Spirit wants to bring for if I start to get into shows and things. But right now, it's more of my passion, my meditation, and my creation.
That's awesome. Well, thank you both so much for joining me. I cannot thank you enough for your contributions, both on the airwaves just now and what you've brought to, you know, the launch pad this evening and just in general in the community. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for this conversation.